Turn back to Genesis 5. Genesis 5. And Genesis 5, 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then you move right over to Genesis chapter 6, where verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, we come back and revisit something we started last time. I pray that you might help us be able to put a cap on it, Father. I didn't really get to what I felt last week was the profound part, for me anyway. So I pray you might bless this to folks' hearts. We're coming upon another revival meeting, Father, that we try to prepare for, and Lord, try to get our hearts and minds in as much sync with Thee as we can. Of course, we ought to do that all the time. I pray that you might help somebody with this tonight, and Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do. We thank you for answered prayers and allowing us to have a part in what you have allowed us to have a part in. Pray you'd take care of our infirmed folks, both with us here and others that are not, those folks that are getting old, and we think of folks that we haven't seen for a while because of various illnesses and such. Pray you'd be with them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, something I began last week, and I brought to this time. I just wanted to start over and kind of start from scratch with a fresh focus on stuff. And of course, everybody understands what walking is. And so it says here twice that these two men walked with God. And so you probably take a walk with your wife or a walk with your kids or a walk with your dog or whatever. And as much as we understand that, still turns out that the spiritual walk is a good deal more elusive. And like I said last time, there's a mysterious element to it. You have those disciples in Mark 16 and Luke 24 that you can tell from what was happening, although it doesn't say they walked with Christ. You can tell by what happened there that they did walk beside him, and yet their eyes were withheld and from even knowing that they actually even were. And so I wonder sometimes if it's a little bit like that, and not to make this ultra mysterious, still, walking with God should be one of the high callings for a Christian, right? I mean, it's got to be one of the highest attainments that you can attain to. I don't know what kind of reward you're going to get at judgment, but if you could look back on your life, or if the Lord could pronounce somehow that, you know, indeed, this Christian walked with me. Well, that'd be pretty good. That'd be a pretty good statement to hear in my own mind. So to review just a little bit, hope you won't feel bad about me doing that. First of all, here in Genesis 5, this is Enoch, and Enoch is a type of Christ, right? If anybody should walk with God, it's the body of Christ because of all the promises that we have. Here is Noah following him, Genesis 6. And about those two men, you can pull some things together. They were agreed. You have to say they were agreed with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. So they agreed with God so they could walk with him. And so will you have to be agreed with the Lord. On the other hand, they are in a minority. Most of the men in Noah and Enoch's day did not walk with God. That's very plain. And so it's not a far stretch to say that if you're going to walk with him as you ought, you're going to be in a minority. Furthermore, here is Noah. He has this 60 to 70 to 75 year project that he's involved with. All the headaches and all the heartaches, the hardships bunch of people standing around mocking and laughing. They just come by every Saturday night and just shout and scream and call them ugly names. Plainly lived in complete abhorrence of how Noah and his family were living. But through the hardships and the dry times and the loneliness, the Bible still says that Noah walked with God. And then there's this thing, and this is what got me. You go from Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. It doesn't say they walked with God there, but it's evident that they had, to me anyway. And it's evident that's what the Lord wanted them to do. And then you move to Genesis 5, Enoch. Then Genesis 6, Noah. It turns out the first four times the word walk even shows up. It's people walking with God. And then, of course, sin enters. And from here, you have to go all the way to Micah chapter 6 to find somebody that walks with God. And there, the Lord just says, a man ought to walk with his God in humbleness. And so we preached about that for a little while. But, I mean, you go all the way from Genesis 6 to Micah 6. And then from there are no other Old Testament references to walking with God. In fact, you go to the New Testament and you don't find a New Testament reference where somebody walked with God. In fact, to get close to it, you have to go all the way over to Revelation chapter 2. And again, just allow me to review here for a minute and hit this another lick. And then we'll get to something a little newer. Chapter 2, verse 1. This is the closest the Bible comes to saying that, to giving you an account anyway of somebody walking with God or with Christ. 2:1, Revelation, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And the verse before it in Revelation 1:20 tells you that those candlesticks are the seven churches. And so if I drew a conclusion from the only verse in the New Testament that says that Christ walked with men in any way, it's involving the church. And so, as I said last time, just don't allow somebody to talk you out of church, and because that's what they're trying to do. I mean, you don't have to walk very far and talk to too many folks where they think you're a Pharisee for showing up here three times a week. And when you start showing up four or five nights in a row, like here in a few weeks, you're really gone over the edge. And what they're busy doing just as fast as they can is trying to take away that in which the Lord walks in the midst of the churches. I don't think it's an accident that's stated that way. And so you have that. And like I said, you go back then where it doesn't say those disciples walked with him on the road to Emmaus, but it's evident that they did. It's evident, too, that that it was a mystery to them that they actually were doing it at the time. And so it makes me think along those lines that there are times that you're doing stuff and it doesn't feel like you're walking with God, and maybe you wouldn't categorize it as that way, but you are. I don't know how many times you've been in prayer and you said, boy, this is just not how I thought it would be when I read the book by George Mueller. But still, you're praying. And you don't know how the Lord categorizes that. How many times have you gone and knocked doors in a neighborhood where nobody was interested? You didn't see interest in anybody's eyes all day. And you don't know but that you walked with God all that day. There's an element of mystery to it. And then the only other thing that kind of interesting along that line is John 6. Let me just show that to you one more time. John 6. And verse 66. And this verse plainly says that men did walk with him. However, in this case, it comes at it from the other angle. John 6, 66. There must be something to that. John 6, 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were offended by what he said. And so you're going to have to deal with the matter of offense if you're going to walk with Jesus Christ. Now, I came through that far last week. That's where things stopped. Some of this was an eye-opener for me because I'd not quite put together some of this quite the way I see it now. Here you have, you go all the way from Genesis 6, first book of the Bible, early in the book, all the way to Revelation chapter 2, before, with one exception, before you find somebody definitively walking with God. You have Micah 6:8, where, you know, we're supposed to walk in humbleness before the Lord. Now, the thing that struck me about that is the distance between Genesis and Revelation. And what struck me along that line was, here you have a New Testament where Jesus Christ came and died for our sins to establish, to reestablish what? A relationship. And so we have a relationship with God, not a ritual religion. And we have an unprecedented intimacy with Him. I mean, we're one with Him. He's one with us. He's baptized us into His body. He has entered our bodies. He lives in us. And, I mean, if anybody should be able to be said to walk with God, wouldn't you think that a New Testament part of the bride of Christ would be able to walk with God? Yet it never, ever says that. We have unprecedented access to His person. And yet, nowhere in Paul's epistles do you find where somebody walked with God. There's just very little about it. In fact, there's really nothing said along those lines, walking with Him. And so it dawned on me that there must have been something that changed. You go from Genesis 5 and 6, where it's getting really bad with men, and boy, sin really sets in and ruins stuff. Noah's the last guy to be said to walk with God. And so sin sets in, and you go through all the rest of the Old Testament. One day Jesus Christ comes, bears our sins in His own body on the tree, breaks the bonds of our sins by His death, burial, and resurrection, tore down the middle wall of partition between us. We are no longer separate. He slew the enmity that is between us, and He's made us not just friends, but sons. And yet, still, there's no emphasis in walking with Him. Not in so many words. What is the deal? The deal is, ladies and gentlemen, that the church age emphasis is not walking with Him. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The emphasis for the body of Christ is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go down to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And I'm having trouble finding the right page. Let's begin with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because you're yoked up with somebody better, right? Jesus Christ. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them. And notice, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The reason you don't read about men walking with God in the church age is because God indwells men and doesn't walk with them. He walks in them. That's what I carry away from this, and it goes the other direction. Take your Bibles real quick. I'm going to be turning to a few verses here tonight. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, Colossians 2, temptation to read more than I need to, but verse 4, "But God is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Colossians 2, I just ruined everything. Anyway, they were good verses too. Well, in fact, we'll go back and see them a little more later. Verse 4, Colossians 2:4, I'm sorry. "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." He's in you, and you're in him. Where do you walk? He walks in you. You don't walk with him. You walk in him. And that's the emphasis. For people that should, of all people, be able, by Old Testament standards, to be able to walk with God, you have no emphasis of that at all. Instead, the emphasis throughout the New Testament, throughout the Pauline epistles, and even later, is that we walk in him, and he walks in me. And so that was an eye-opener for me, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 78 times the New Testament brings up in Christ. It's a place. It's where you walk. It's in him. It's where you abide. It's in him. And then there are other times where it talks about in Jesus or in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's in him. Our walk is not with him. Our walk is in him. And by the way, his walk with us is in us, not just with us. Neither party can walk away. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. I'm sealed in him, and he's sealed in me, Ephesians 4. So in this little walk that we're taking down the road at my house, at any time, if my wife and I have a fight, I can leave her and go back home, and she'll follow later. Or she can leave. We don't have to finish the walk together. But with respect to the Lord, neither party can walk away. This is a thing where he walks in us all the time. Now, if you walk in the wrong place, he doesn't have to like where you walk. In fact, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit, but he's not leaving, right? And by the way, you can't jump out either. This is something where you go from, boy, I wonder where anybody is walking with God, to suddenly you're called to walk in him and him in you all the time. There's no relief, if that's the right phraseology. There's no way to get away from it. There's no way to get away from him. He's locked inside you, and you in him. And ladies and gentlemen, the emphasis becomes walking in him. And that's what this sermon's all about. And really, that is the sermon. I have some other stuff to follow up on here, but the first four times walk shows up in the Bible, somebody's walking with God. Walk shows up 408 times. 50 plus times in the Old Testament, somebody walked before him, not in front of him, but he's setting and they're living their lives in front of him. They walk before him. But in some places, they walk after him. But nobody in the New Testament walks with him. We walk in him. He walks in us. And so I could spend the rest of the night beating y'all up with one verse after another, and we're going to look at some, but what follows is highlights. Okay? And I just would like for you to follow me through here. So the emphasis is no longer walking with him. The emphasis is walking in him. So what is it that you're to walk in? Again, I think I left you in Colossians 2. Just turn back there. Colossians 2. And go back to verse 5, Colossians 2:5. Colossians 2:5, if you'll just turn with me to a few verses here, that will suffice. I'm not going to follow up with hundreds more that I could. Colossians 2, 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Your faith in Christ. It's very evident that one place you're supposed to walk is in faith. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. What did it just say? How do you walk in Him? You walk in Him the same way that you received Him, by faith. Now, we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? But you're not just walking by faith. You're walking in faith. I mean, this whole thing that we're in, it's in faith. You're called to earnestly contend for the faith. But this is the embodiment of truth here. And that's where we walk. We walk in faith. And it's how we walk in Him. It's not even with Him. Not technically. Don't misunderstand. I'm going to say something someday about walking with God and all that kind of thing. I'm not denouncing that phraseology. I'm just saying, technically speaking, in the New Testament, you don't walk with Him. He walks in you. And you walk in Him. And if you don't have faith right, you're going to have problems. We walk in faith. We walk in faith, and faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Those people that have no Bible, they get problems. Don't tell me how close they are to God. Don't tell me how close they walk with Him or in Him when they don't have a Bible. Oh, it just doesn't matter, these minor changes. Oh, it does matter. It matters a lot. It really does. Okay, let me show you something else. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. And like I said, if you look up in your computer program, Bible program, in Christ, I think it's going to come up 78 times. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Many of them in the book of Ephesians, which we'll talk about more in a second. But Romans chapter 6. The emphasis is you walking in Him and Him walking in you. And neither is revoked. You can't get away. It's just a joke when you look at something like this to read and where somebody thinks that you can lose your salvation. I couldn't lose it. I couldn't lose God if I wanted. If I was tired of Him and said, I don't want to walk near you anymore, I couldn't get away. He's in me and I'm in Him. And the idea of losing your salvation is just kind of bonkers when you look at it from this perspective. But, I mean, it's in Him. Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now, okay, a little theology here. See if we can drive the writers crazy. When were you baptized into Jesus? When you got baptized or when you got saved? When you got saved. The Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. That's how you got baptized into Jesus. It had nothing to do with water whatsoever. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ and then raised you up to walk in newness of life. That's why we do bury people in water to show what happens. But it's not talking about water baptism here, right? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk, where? In newness of life. That's what you find in Jesus Christ. Newness of life. And you walk in faith, and you walk in newness of life. Again, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Each day, you get a chance to get up and start over anew. We walk in newness of life. Look in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, along this line. In newness, in faith, and in newness 7:6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. Used to be married to your accuser, the law. The law was put to death at Calvary. And so now that your former spouse is dead, you're free to marry somebody else, Jesus Christ. And look at how it's phrased at the end of verse 6, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter where you used to be. You serve, you walk in Christ in newness, in faith, and in newness. Look furthermore along those lines, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's more of a Bible study tonight at this juncture than it is preaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, who is that inward man? That's the new creature. That's Jesus Christ in you, right? Is renewed day by day. Folks, we walk in newness. We don't technically walk with Him. We walk in Him. And in Him, by faith. And in newness. Look at one more, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Notice verse 10. Colossians 3. No, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. It's the old dead man, the old nature. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's all done in Christ. We're to walk that way, renewed in knowledge. So you walk in Christ in faith, in newness. That's not nearly all of it. Look in Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I still like the picture, the analogy of walking beside somebody down the road and, you know, walking with God that way. But I'm just saying, technically speaking, He's in you and you're in Him. And your walk is in Him, not with Him. And in Him is much closer than with Him, in case anybody's wondering, right? Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and go down to verse 25. Galatians 5, 25. If we live in the Spirit. Now, is that where you live? Holy Spirit came in you and dwells in you, baptized you into the body of Christ. I'm telling you, that's where you live. You live in Christ, and it's the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us. But that's also the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, too, right? That is the Spirit of truth. You live. In fact, you wouldn't be alive spiritually if you didn't live in the Spirit. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, there's something that should happen. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Right? You're supposed to walk there. Where's there? In Him. In Him. Go back to verse 16. 5:16 Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's where you're called to walk. You're to walk in the Spirit, in Christ. Look in Romans chapter 8. The phrasing's different, but as far as I can see, it's the very same. Galatians or Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We walk in Him, in faith, in newness, in the Spirit. And by the way, there's this. Look in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you know this passage very well. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created somewhere in Christ Jesus. Unto, you're created there for a reason, unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk. Where? In them. Not with Him, not with them, but in them. Now you go back to chapter 2, verse 2. Notice that where you were before you were saved. This whole thing revolves around where your location, where you were before you got saved versus where you are now. And this is another matter of how we know that Noah and Enoch and Abraham, whomever you might think in the Old Testament, did walk with God, they were not saved the same way we are, because they weren't in Christ. And God wasn't in them the way that He's in us. So this is about for us wherein we were. Verse 1, and you have He quickened who were dead, where? In trespasses and sins. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The world is full of the devil. They literally have the devil in them. And that's not where you are anymore. You're in Christ. And so in Christ, you've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so that's what you're created for. One place you're supposed to walk is in faith, in newness, and in the Spirit, but in good works. Look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, were in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, where? Man, folks, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This whole thing, this whole book of Ephesians is about nothing more than being in Christ. Locationally, that's where you are now. You're in Him. And we're called to walk in Him. You're called to walk by good works in Him. There's more in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians 4. Here's another category. This could all spider out from the book of Ephesians, because there's so much in Ephesians about in Him, in Christ, in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, and so on. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. If you'd go down to verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That tells you where lost Gentiles walk, wherein they are. They walk in the vanity of their minds. And so all this emphasis is put for a Christian on keeping his mind straight, because he's not supposed to walk in the vanity of the mind of the rest of the Gentiles. He's supposed to have another mind. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And there's another in. It's in Him. You're supposed to have that mind in you. We walk in distinction from the world. Okay, we walk in Christ. They're not in Christ. They don't think like a Christian. They don't act like a Christian. We're called to walk in distinction. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm not going to beat you to death all night with verse after verse after verse, because you probably are wiser to look up on a in a concordance or better Bible computer that'll give you a phrase and follow these threads through, and so you can see it for yourself. So I'll be done here pretty quick, but I'm just giving you some rough categories in faith, in newness, in the Spirit, in good works, in distinction from the world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness like the rest of them, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Doesn't say anything there about walking, but just keep going here. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You're supposed to walk in Christ in distinction from those folks out there, not trying to be like them, not trying to build a bridge back to them. 1 Peter chapter 4. In distinction from them, in separation from them. 1 Peter chapter 4. And notice verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked, in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. That's not where we walk anymore. We're in Christ, and our walk is in Him. And by the way, His walk is in us. Everywhere you walk, you're carrying Jesus Christ with you. Man, folks, it's worth thinking about. We're not walking with Him. Man, we're walking in Him, and He's in us. Back to Ephesians 5 real fast. And I'm more than three-quarters done with all these verses, so just don't think it's going to go on forever. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Walk in love. After all, that's what you found in Christ. So walk in it. Along that line, we can go to 2 John chapter 6. 2 John 6. Walk in love. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Walk in love. Shouldn't be a big deal to obey God. Not if you love Him. Not if you walk in love. Stories told about a lady whose husband was mean and always forced her, without kind words or anything else, to iron his shorts and iron his shirts and iron his pants and all this kind of stuff. And it became such a horrible drudgery that she just hated it. One day the guy up and dies. A couple of years later, she marries another guy whom she loved and who loved her and treated her very well. In time, she looked up and realized one day over her ironing board, without him asking, she was ironing his shorts and ironing his shirts and ironing his pants. And doing all the things that her other husband was making her do out of meanness, she was gladly doing out of love. Next time the commandments are grievous to you, you might approach it that way. Because, brethren, what we found in Jesus Christ was love. And that's where we're supposed to walk. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Walk in faith, in newness, in the Spirit, in good works, in distinction from the world, in love. And how about this one? Chapter 4, verse 1, Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. By vocation, I don't mean your job as a plumber, but your vocation in the sense of your position in Christ. Walk worthy of it. Along with that worthy walk, go right along to Colossians 1 once again. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look in 1 Thessalonians 2 real fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. Folks, we're to walk in Him. We're to walk worthy. It's not like you have to earn it, but it's a matter of... If you're married, if you're just a dumpy guy and you're married to the greatest woman in the world, then you need to walk worthy of her and honor the marriage and be worthy in that marriage. It's walking as you ought to walk. It's walking worthy as you ought to. Right? Hang in there. We're almost done. And there I can close up with just a couple more. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. No, let's start with verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Remember that thing about Him walking in us? Well, God is light and in Him is no darkness. Man, folks, if He's walking in you, you're His ambassador. You're carrying Him around with you. If He's in you, you have that light in you. You ought to walk lighted up. Light coming out your eyes and your ear holes. Because you have light living in you. I mean, He's in you. Look in verse 8 again. For you're sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. One more verse in 1 John 1, and then we can close our Bibles. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and Him in us is no darkness at all. So if He's light, and Christ is light, and Christ is the light of the world, and He's in you, and you're in Him, you ought to be able to walk in light. Right? Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to be able to walk in the light. And I could keep going because I could take you to other categories. We ought to walk in the truth related to the light. We ought to walk circumspectly. We ought to walk in wisdom towards them that are without. We should walk honestly. We should walk orderly, and we should walk in fear. But I spare you all those passages. Again, the what set me back was the fact that here we have held up to a standard for us, Enoch and Noah. And those men walked with God. And so all this time, we men are trying to figure out how to walk with God. Truth of the matter is, we have something far better than those guys had. We set the standard for them because we walk in Him. and he in us. And there's a difference. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for these